Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Blog Talk Radio, Religion Means Alive, for today's date, which is October the 8th, 2015. Today's topic is about Muslim clothing. Okay, what does the Muslim man wear? What does the Muslim woman wear? What's appropriate to wear? What's appropriate not to wear? And so forth and so on. This is something that came up on a topic, well, a post that I had wrote about a couple of days ago. And, you know, for the new Shahadas who aren't aware of what is permissible to wear and what's not permissible to wear, this is why I'm doing the call, because, you know, we get this question so often amongst different groups and pages and things of that nature. So I thought it would be a good topic to address and to, you know, provide some dalil. And remember, if I told you, what I mean by dalil is the Islamic correct information that we get from the Quran and Hadith, or from the scholars, the knowledgeable scholars and sheikhs that have studied Islam over the years. They provide us with fatwas, which mean, you know, these are in conjunction with the religion. So these are things that we have to adhere to and we can't go against. So I want to thank everybody for taking their time out, their busy schedules, to tune in and to listen to my show. I greatly appreciate all my listeners and my followers. And I do appreciate your feedback that you provide to me via inbox, you know, different suggestions on various posts that I may post and so forth and so on. First, I have to give, you know, acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for these types of situations and for the shows and for the different things that I do without, you know, seeking assistance from Allah. I wouldn't be able to do these type of things because I wouldn't have clarity on them and comprehension. Those things are important when, you know, you're digging into various topics, and especially when it deals with Islam. You want to make sure that you're not stating something that's incorrect or not sound, or it could be even false in some certain situations. So this is why that when I provide a statement, or if I state something, I'm going to give you the Quranic verse that you can find that in the Quran, or I will give you the hadith that you can look up on your own, or I'll give you like the fatwa number, so forth and so on, so that you can go back and check to make sure that what I'm stating is correct. You know, this is something that we should do as Muslims. When somebody gives you advice or gives you knowledge on a certain thing or a certain topic, you should always validify those items, not just take that person's word for it. And it could be a well-known sheikh or scholar. Still, if they provide you with that, they should be able to provide you with where they obtained that information from. And these things are important to do when you're speaking about Islam, because as we know, Islam, we follow the Quran that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over 1400 years ago, and it is in the Arabic language. So when things are translated in different languages, sometimes they lose a word or two, or the certain word doesn't translate properly into another language. So this is why we are encouraged to learn Arabic so that we can read the Quran in its original form, which has not been changed from that time. So when we read the translated version of the Quran in whatever our native language is, it's not the Quran. We have to understand that that's not the Quran we're reading, because, as we know, as I just stated, certain words don't translate over, so it could be missing or adding certain words. So this is why, again, it's important for us to learn Arabic. So the reason why I picked the topic of Muslim dress, and I'm going to start out with the brothers. So many people have so many different ideas about what is proper Islamic dress. Now, some people will disagree with the statements that I'm going to state, that there is no proper Islamic dress. These are cultural clothings that we're wearing, or we're emulating different people's culture from around the world. So this is not something that is worn, like it's specifically stated that Muslims wear. Now, I disagree with that because of what it states in the Quran and what it states in the Hadith, that the dress of a Muslim, whether it's a man or a woman, should not resemble the people of Jahiliyyah or the Dunya or people who are non-Muslim. So what clothing would that be that other people who are not Muslim would not wear, because the Muslims wear it? So, you know, in my readings, the men, it would be, you know, cutting off your pants above the ankles and, you know, wearing the kameez or the throbe or the izar. Now, a lot of people will disagree with that and say those are not Muslim clothing. They're cultural. That's what people of a certain culture always wore in their country, and Muslims are mocking that, that it's okay to wear whatever you choose to wear if it's your culture. I disagree with that. And the reason why I disagree with that is because if you are not distinguishing yourself from other cultures or other religions, you may be mocking that culture or that religion. So, again, it's important for us to distinguish ourselves, but how would we do that without following the Quran and the Sunnah? We have to use those as our guides. You know, those are our compass, those are our maps that we should use to be able to distinguish what is clear and what is cloudy. So, you know, again, I just want to make it clear that some people will disagree with my statements that I'm stating and state that you should wear whatever you want to wear, and it doesn't have to be the clothing of certain cultures or certain areas of the world, that we don't have to dress like that. I disagree with that because if we don't distinguish how we dress, how will people know that we're Muslim if we don't distinguish ourselves? So it's very important to me that we make that distinction, that we make it clear that when someone sees us, they know right off the bat that we're Muslim. How do they know that? By looking at the clothing that we're wearing. Because, again, the clothing that the Muslims wear are not being imitated by people who are non-Muslim. Now, here in Philadelphia, I live right outside of Philadelphia, not too far from Philly. I've noticed that a lot of non-Muslim women starting to wear Islamic clothing. A lot of people have issue with this, and, you know, this wasn't a post that I put up. This was a post that I seen on someone else's page, and it piqued my interest because I said to myself, okay, if non-Muslims can feel like they want to wear our clothing, is our clothing being absorbed or mocking the non-believers? And, you know, that was just a question that I made to myself. If the non-believers feel as though that they can wear Islamic clothing, they'll be not labeled as being Muslim is it then that Islamic clothing is becoming a fashion statement? Is it becoming something that is not what we want to label it, halal or, you know, Islamic clothing? What is it becoming that so many non-Muslims now feel like they can wear Islamic clothing and not be considered Muslim? So, you know, that was something that really piqued my interest that I paid attention to. And, you know, I'm going to be the first one to admit I do not wear all black. I do not wear niqab. I wear colors. I wear prints. I wear stripes, polka dots. That's how I dress. I dress modestly. Do I wear an overgarment or a jilbab or, you know, that type clothing? Yes, I do, but I don't every day. Normally, I'll wear like a tunic top or a kurti and pants, dress pants, because I work in corporate America. So I'll wear that like with dress shoes. And, you know, with my hijab or my kimar or my, you know, I wear, you know, my scarf. I wear my shala. I wear that to work. So, you know, I'm not here to say, oh, you must dress like this. This is just what the information that I'm providing on the dress is simply what is stated in Quran and what Hadith states. I'm not saying, you know, you need to stop dressing how you dress. This is just what is clearly stated in Quran and Hadith and also backed by some of the scholars and sheikhs and other students of knowledge on Islam. Do I agree with it? I'm not going to disagree with it because it is what it is. I can't disagree with what is stated in Quran. I can't disagree with what's stated in Hadith. Now, some people will say that the scholars and the sheikhs are taking things too far. I have heard that about, you know, Islamic clothing and wanting the women to wear, you know, full burqa, full niqab, gloves, everything. Some state that, you know, some students of knowledge, some, you know, sheikhs say, you don't have to wear all that. Others recommend that they do to cut down on the fitna, to also, you know, curb men's appetite from, you know, looking at beautiful women. That if you're Muslim, you should wear a burqa, basically, with gloves. Your feet should not be showing, and you should not be wearing colors that would attract of people's attention, such as, you know, bright colors, flowers, pastels, things of that nature. Now, do I agree with that? No, I do not. And the reason for that is a lot of times we get caught up in culture. And with Islam spread throughout the entire world, each culture is going to adapt to a certain way of dress. Now, this was a post that I put up a few days ago or a few weeks ago, I can't remember. This was specifically addressed to the sisters as far as, you know, wearing all black and a niqab. This is something that is widely seen in the Philadelphia region of Pennsylvania. So you'll see this more often also in the Salafi community. You won't see sisters with colors on. You'll see them in either all black or colors like navy, blue, dark brown, burgundy, dark gray, those type of colors. Is there anything wrong with the sisters wearing those colors? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with them wearing it. The question comes, of dress. Now, when I put the comment out there about, you know, wearing all black and a niqab, a lot of people went against the grain, against what I said. So So me being who I am and me being, you know, sort of the antagonist sometimes, you know, again, I like to push the buttons. And again, I do not choose sides. I look at things from both perspectives. And I'll give you an example exactly what happened during that post, what transpired on that post about colors, wearing colorful clothing and colorful hijabs and so forth and so on. So, you know, sisters come in and said, yes, this is the way you're supposed to dress. It's mandatory that you dress this way. So I said, okay. You know, and I rebutted against them. I said, okay, if I was in a country that did not wear that type of clothing, stand out. If you would stand out, that means you're attracting attention to yourself. So let's backtrack some. If you was in Saudi, and we know that Saudi, the women wear all black. They wear niqab. This is something that's widely known in certain areas of Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries. That is their culture to wear all black. So me being the sister that I am, that wear bright colors and patterns and stripes and all this and that, yes, I would stick out. So that means I would be drawing attention to myself because I'm wearing that. And in those countries, they have special laws where you will be disciplined for doing that. So my rebuttal to that was, if I was in Indonesia, who has the largest population of Muslims in the entire world, more than any Arab country, more than America, more than most Muslim countries put together, Indonesia has the highest per capita, per person of Muslims in the entire world. If you went to Indonesia and were all black, you would stand out. They do not, that is not their culture to wear all black. You went to Indonesia and you had on a full black burqa with niqab, gloves, and everything, they would look at you like you're crazy. That's not their culture to do it. If you go to India or Pakistan, you're not going to see people wearing all black. You're going to see plenty of bright, beautiful colors that stand out. Now, are they wrong? No. Are you wrong? No. It depends on where you're at. It's the culture. It's what is the norm for that area of the world. Take Africa. If anybody ever been to African masjid, you will see plenty of colors. You will see plenty of designs, brocade, silk, lace, voltages. You will see the gamut of a seamstress dream when you go to an African masjid. You will see all kinds of textures, wax prints and things of that nature, wax fabrics and things of that nature. I happen to love African fabric, so that's why, you know, I really went off on that one. But you will see that because that's their culture. Again, are they wrong? No. Is it okay to wear color? Yes. Just as long as you are not drawing attention to yourself. Now, here in Philly, people, you will see Muslims dressed in everything. You will see Muslims dressed in the full jilbab with the burqa or the niqab, gloves, everything. You will see that. You will also see sisters dressed in array of colors, patterns, designs, and so forth and so on. There's hadith about wearing color. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not forbidding it. In essence, encouraging it. And I'm going to get that hadith for you right now, because I want to make sure that people understand that it's nothing wrong with wearing color. for the female. It's nothing wrong with the sisters wearing color. There's nothing wrong with the sisters wearing all black. Whatever floats your boat, whatever you want to wear, as long as it's covering your aura and what should not be seen by people who are non-Mahram or, you know, non-Muslim. So as long as it's adhering to those basic tenets of covering your aura and not showing what should not be shown, you're cool. And we'll get into that. So before I get deeper into this and, you know, start breaking everything down, just want to see if anybody's out there who wants to chime in on what we're talking about tonight, comment, question, concern. You just want to say hi to me, give me salams. I'm open for that. Feel free to dial in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. So, you know, once you do that, then I'll be able to see you on the studio listing as wanting to make a statement or a call. Regarding color garments, in Sahih al-Bukhari 7.733 says that he has seen Qatmun, the daughter of Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, wearing a red silk garment. That was one. You know, and I said, I find this very interesting since there are many who say Muslim women shouldn't wear red because it's too showy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given some clothes, including a black cashmere. The Prophet said, "To whom shall we give this wear to?" The people kept silent, whereupon the Prophet said, "Fetch Khalid for me." I, Khalid, was bought and carried as I was a small girl at that time. The Prophet took the cashmere in his hands and made me wear it and said, "May you live so long that your dress will wear out and you will mend it many times." On the cashmere, there were some green or pale designs. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw these designs and said, Khalid, this is Sana. Sana in Ethiopian was a word meaning beautiful. So that's in Sahih al-Bukhari. So if the Prophet was giving gifts to the women and they weren't all black, they had designs on them, green and pale, tan, I would say, cool for you to wear colors. Now, going, you know, the scope beyond that, you know, neon green, neon yellow, you know, all these bright colors that's coming out. But if that's in your culture, like, you know, if people in your culture are wearing that, you're not going to draw attention to yourself. The main thing with Islamic clothing is to not draw attention to yourself. So if you're in a city where almost every other person got on neon green shoes, if you wear them, you're not going to stand out because that's the norm. You wearing all black or something that's not in, people are going to look at you. So, again, this is why I said it's not wrong for you to wear all black and cover your face and cover your hands. It's not wrong to do that. Just as it's not wrong for a sister to wear colors. You know, that's something that, you know, I just want to make clear. So, for the brothers, and I want to start off with the brothers because people always say that I always give the brothers a hard time and, you know, I'm not nice to the brothers, but that's not true. That's not true. I'm trying to be nicer to the brothers. I'm trying to give them their time and be dedicated to the cause to make them feel special. Mashallah. So for the brothers, everything, the basic principle concerning everything that is worn is that it's halal, permissible, except for concerning what there is a text to state that it is haram, such as silk for males and also gold. Those two things are forbidden for men to wear, silk and gold. Now, women can wear silk and gold. And if you want it out, that's narrated by Ibn Majah in 3640. And that is a Sahih Hadith stating that you should not wear gold and silk. Also, it is not permissible to wear the skin of a dead animal, one that has died of natural causes, unless it has been tanned. With regard to wearing clothes made of wool, goat hair, camel hair, these are pure and permissible. But if you want to get more information on wearing dead animals such as leather, because, you know, the majority of people do wear leather shoes, leather gloves, leather jackets, and so forth and so on, you know, this gets a little bit more detail and it's out of my scope of range. So I would suggest that you speak to a student of knowledge or a scholar on that aspect, because I know it gets a little bit deep when you have brothers playing sports such as football. The football is made out of actually, you know, pigskin, and I believe there's a certain process that has to take place in order for it to be able to be touched and handled, so forth and so on. But I'm not educated on that, so I'm going to leave that alone. You know, that's not my realm to speak on. I would be ignorant speaking on that topic, so I'll leave that alone. It is also not permissible to wear thin or see-through clothing that does not conceal the aura. And for the aura, for the man, is what is below the navel, above the knee. So for a man, he should keep that concealed at all times. You know, certain circumstances, and again, I should have studied this more, but when you're making salat, I believe there's certain requirements for the brothers, and I really haven't studied this because I have all daughters and I'm a woman. I believe like the shoulder blades and so forth and so on have to be covered for a man, and I believe his izar or his covering should be below the knee when making salat. I'm not exactly quite sure on that, but if any of the callers are more educated on that than me, please feel free to correct me or provide the additional information. So it is also haram. Oh, I'll go back for a quick second. Also, wearing two garments that are dyed with safflower. These garments are of the kuffar and do not wear them. Now, that is for men only, and that color is like a reddish color. So I know a lot of times, and again, I should be more educated on this, but I believe that the brothers wear all solid red. They have to break it up. Like, it has to have some kind of, like, pinstripe or something in it, but they can't wear all red, as women can. So some of the things that apply for women do not apply for the men, and some things that apply for the men do not apply for the women. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to dial in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Also, it is haram for the women to imitate men and the men to imitate women in the way they dress, because the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cursed the men who imitate women and the women who imitated men, and that's narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari 5546. So, you know, I'm going to give you a perfect example of how some Muslims are going against this hadith. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just delivering it. These sisters like the Jordan sneakers. These sneakers are male-made sneakers. The sisters are wearing these sneakers. It is haram for you to imitate the men. These are sneakers that are made for men.
not for women. Now, you can go around it and feel how you want about it, but it is what it is. I wear a size 8 in men. I wear a size 10 in women. If you pick up my shoes, you're going to see a 10 women in whatever sneakers I'm wearing or whatever shoes I'm wearing, because it is haram for you to imitate the men. Y'all want to get these Harachis and all this and that. They are imitating the men. They are men sneakers. The women, the sisters shouldn't be wearing them. That's just a quick example of how we fall off on certain things. And parents, you shouldn't be buying your kids these sneakers. You shouldn't. It goes against that hadith. But people in this society look at that and give it a pass. Oh, you know, as long as he ain't, as long as the male isn't wearing no female sneakers. But see, then it gets tricky because you see these boys out here now wearing women's jeans, these skinny jeans. Even though they're saying they're for male, we know they are clearly for women. And Muslim men and Muslim teenagers who are male should not be wearing this type of clothing. It's imitating the kufar, and we shouldn't allow our children to wear these type of clothing. We just shouldn't. That even though the child is responsible for their own sins, once they reach age of puberty, there are still things that the parents just should not allow in the home. Who's the child and who's the adult? When you don't have a say over what your child wears in your home where you pay bills and where your children have to obey you. So that's just, you know, something for thought. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in several hadith, when you're getting dressed, you should always start with bismillah. Start with the right side. We start with the right side on everything. So I'm trying to make this educational for those who may be listening or may listen in the future for the future playback. You know, this is always available on Blog Talk. You would just go to blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alford and look for any listings that have my name, and you will be able to hear my shows that I've done in the past. So I just wanted to make that quick note real quick. You know, when you get dressed and when you do wudu, you always start on the right. So that's the same way you should do when you're getting dressed. You should start with the right and then start with the, and then finish up with the left. When you put on a new garment, you should thank Allah for it, being able to purchase that garment. Everything that we do, and this is something I stated plenty of times, just everything we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, we are Muslim. There are specific du'as, there are certain things, certain examples, how we should carry ourselves out in public, how we should eat, how we should go to the bathroom, how we should dress, how we should talk. Everything that we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep should incorporate being Muslim. And, I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know if other people feel that way, but inshallah they do, because that's something that's very important. Everything you do, your tongue, your speech, your mannerisms, how you eat, how you clean yourself, how you handle situations, everything involved in your daily life, in your daily routines, should incorporate the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabas, and the pious predecessors. That should be something daily, you know, that we do. So, you know, you should thank Allah for being able to clothe yourself and things like that. You should make sure your clothes are clean without feeling arrogant or exaggerating the fact that you got either new clothes on or your clothes are neatly pressed and things like that. And this is something I want to say, and this is something that I was taught at an early age. Even though I wasn't raised in Islam, there were certain things that young ladies did. There were certain things that young men did. There were certain attributes, certain characteristics about yourself that you should carry. I did not grow up in a wealthy home. We struggled. And, you know, I didn't know how poor we were until I got grown and I understood why certain things were done. But growing up as a child, we were very poor, very poor. I mean, cooking meals on kerosene heaters because we have no gas in the house. You know, boiling water on the stove to take a bath. You know, I can remember times when my mom's reading me a story by candlelight and, you know, she's making it fun like, you know, the lights is out and I'm going to read you a bedtime story. No, that was because we didn't have no electricity in the house. But only as an adult did I come to understand those type of things and appreciate them. Because when you come from nothing, usually you don't forget where you came from. And, you know, those things keep you humble and those things keep you grounded. But one thing, you know, my aunts and, you know, everyone taught me is just because you're poor doesn't mean you have to be dirty. And that's something that, you know, even the Christians say, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, that's something that they say. And we know as Muslims, you have to take a ghusl after certain acts. Even after 7 days, you have to take a ghusl. It's mandatory that you do that you cleanse yourself. You perform istinja when you go to the bathroom. That's for male and female. Especially for women after giving childbirth, you have to, you know, cleanse yourself a certain way, and you're even allowed to put musk in your private area to keep down on the smell because, you know, that's something that happens when you're a woman. So these type of things, cleanliness, all go with being Muslim. You should not have on a dirty throat. You should not have on a dirty overgarment. I know that they say that you can allow for the women for her garment to drag. Sisters, gather your garment up. Don't let it drag on this filthy ground. Like, I mean, come on. Like, we're not walking where it's sin. And I've seen this where sisters, the bottom of their overgarment is filthy. How can you make salat in that? Unless you're taking it off and putting a clean one on, your garment should not be dragging in dirt and filth, and especially if you're walking around a metropolitan city. You got homeless people urinating, defecating on the streets, birds defecating, and your garments are just dragging through that. Now, some can get angry with me, but go to Hadith on that. You're not supposed to even pray with dirty garments on. Like, I understand you want to, you know, make sure everything is covered, but as you're walking, sisters, out in these streets, gather your garment in your hand. Now, if anybody has ever studied clothing in different statuses throughout the years, something that I had relayed to a good friend of mine, and she was like, you know, we need to bring this back out. Back in the roaring 20s and 30s, because their garments would be so long and drag the ground, to keep them from tripping and to keep it from dragging, they used to sew like a loop in it, almost that could go around your hand so that it would pull the garment up enough so that you wouldn't trip and it wouldn't drag the ground. If any seamstresses are listening to this call, maybe that's something that we could, you know, start putting on these garments. Because I'm just saying, these overgarments, these jilbabs, these overheads are dragging in filth, and then you go and pray in them. I don't think nobody's going to disagree with me on your clothing dragging in filth. Now, brothers, we know that your pants is supposed to be above the ankles. That's the sunnah. anything dragging below the ankles for you is in the hellfire. And if you want to find out where I just said that, as far as for the brothers, for dragging, that is narrated in Bukhari in 54:50. There are three to whom Allah will not speak to on the day of resurrection and will not look at them or praise them, and theirs will be the painful torment. The messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, repeated it three times. Abu Dhar said, may they be doomed and lost. Who are they, O messenger of Allah? He said, the one who lets his garment hang beneath his ankles, the one who reminds others of favors he has done for him, and the one who sells his product by means of false oath. And that's narrated in Muslim 106. It's haram to wear garments of fame and vanity, and garments that stand out from others so people will look at you and you'll be known for it. So it says, whoever wears a garment of fame and vanity, Allah will dress him in a garment like it on the day of resurrection. According to another version, then set it ablaze. And according to a third version, will dress him in a garment of humiliation. And that's narrated in Abu Dawud 40:29. And that is a Hasan Sahih hadith by Sheikh Albani. So, you know, that's something that we have to take into account for, you know, making sure that we adhere to these hadith. You know, it's not something that we should be taking lightly. You know, some people just throw on whatever and go about their day and say, you know, they're Muslim, but, you know, your characteristics. And this is something that, you know, I may expound on in another day for another topic, but dressing the part of a Muslim is one thing. Showing your mannerisms and your characteristics of a Muslim is another. And those two things should go hand in hand. It's too often that I see things that upset me a great deal. And yes, I get upset myself, but I have to rethink, like, oh, I got this chemo on, oh, I got this overgarment on, and if I act like this, they're going to say, oh, that's how all the Muslims act. That's how they act. That's how they act. A bunch of uncouth behavior should not be the model type for Muslims, and especially for Muslim women, because I've seen some very ratchet, lewd, absurd behaviors practiced by a lot of Muslims, and they're women. The women are outdoing the men in these instances, you know, and it's something that we need to keep in check. It's something that we definitely need to keep in check. If anybody has a question, comment, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. That may be the next topic that I'm going to do, the adab of a Muslima. You know, 2 days ago I was sitting out talking to my neighbor on my way home from work, and I seen this young Muslim brother walking down the street, cuffs, head on a throw, had his kufi on, cussing like I have never seen somebody cussing, and he looked there dead at me in my face, and I said, Assalamu alaikum. I said, is that the befitting talk of a Muslim? Oh, I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry, sis. Walaikum assalam. I'm sorry, sis. After he passed me, right back to cussing. I mean, we our characteristics, our mannerisms, our behavior has to match the clothing, to match the clothing. It's not matching the clothing. And, you know, another thing that I want to say, because, you know, we're getting pressed for time here, having on all black and a niqab, gloves and all that, don't make you more pious than the next sister that doesn't wear that. this is something that really affects the Uma here, because you will have sisters that wear all black not give the greetings to sisters who don't have on all black. And we know when you don't greet the sister back, you incur the sin, and the sister gets the blessing for that. So I could see if the person is dressed very scantily and things like that, that may come into question. But if I have on an overgarment and I have my jilbab covered, all my extremities is covered except for my face and my hands, you can't greet me? I've been even told that you're not a Muslim if you don't wear all black in a niqab. If you don't wear it, you're not Muslim, and I'm not obligated to give you the greeting. Where they do that at? I would love to know that. I mean, it has become so hectic here that I've been told that sisters who wear colors won't even greet the sisters who have on all black first until they greet them, and then they return it, because 9 times out of 10, they won't even greet them. Wearing all black in a niqab is not going to get you into Jannah if your behaviors and your practicing and your characteristics doesn't match that of a Muslim. Likewise, sister, you wearing all colors and everything, if your behavior is not matching and befitting of a Muslim, it's not going to get you into Jannah. So we need to stop all this stuff. We really need to stop it. We need to stop with all the judging. Oh, because she wear that, she don't do this, she don't do that. Worry about your own sins. Worry about what you have to improve on as a Muslim. Give the sister a gentle reminder. Don't put her on the spot. Don't segregate yourself from your sister. Because if you were being attacked out in the street, first thing you want is a Muslim to help you and come protect you. And you wouldn't care what color they had on. You wouldn't care what masjid they went to, just as long as they could help you. And I've been in that situation where somebody was disrespecting a sister in all black, and I helped her. Why? Because she's my sister in Islam. I wouldn't let nobody disrespect her. Just as much as I wouldn't want nobody to let nobody disrespect me. You know, but we have to become more educated and stay in the religion. Everybody has a level of imam. Your imam goes up and your imam goes down. Depending on the circumstances, sometimes it's strong, sometimes it's weak. But we cannot let this take over our communities like this. It's heartbreaking to see things like this. To have friends who were friends for years, but now I married this man and he's telling me I can't be with nobody who don't wear all black in the niqab. And the sisters that you were with were studying, were, you know, doing all the right things, were not out here taking off their clothes and all this other nonsense after the sun sets. These are good sisters who have book clubs and, you know, doing different things, learning different, you know, hobbies and things like that that would better the Ummah, but because you don't wear all black in the niqab, you can't be around them. Makes no sense. These are some of the things we need to educate ourselves on. The Prophet ﷺ did not say that wearing all black was going to guarantee you Jannah. If it was, it would have said it. It would say it. You must wear all black. You must wear a niqab. It doesn't say that. But what it does say is you need to pray. You need to fast. You need to make zakat. You need to make hajj if you can. You need to recite the shahada. You need to practice tawheed. You need to understand Akita. I'm just stating. These are the things that we need to perfect in our lives, not whether or not you got it. Is it 12 inches off the ground? Like, come on, stop this nonsense. People want to talk about the way that you're dressed, but don't know the 14 principles of Salat. Don't know the 9 conditions of Salat. If I sat here and watched you right now, watch you make Salat 9 times out of 10, you done done something wrong because you're so busy worried about what somebody got on versus what you should understand in the religion. The clothing issue is old. It's old. It's getting played out. But no, there are certain conditions that you have to maintain when you dress. There are certain conditions. Now, let me start getting to the sisters real quick. I'm going to go through this because, you know, we're getting pressed for time. If anybody has a comment, question, concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will put you through. So for the sisters, it states, it was narrated that Umm Salima said, when the words draw their cloaks veils all over their bodies was revealed, the women of the Ansar went out as if they were crows on their head because of the way they covered themselves. And that's narrated in Abu Daud 4101. And that's a Sahih verse. So they said that they were also commanded to cover their faces, and they did not understand the command as applying only to those that were beautiful. So we know that if you are an extremely attractive sister, that you should wear niqab to calm down on the fitna so that the brothers aren't gazing at you and gawking at you all day. That's understood. Likewise, I have read that if you have eyes like that are hazel, green, or blue, or gray, that would be, you know, out of the norm, you know, and it's extremely attractive for men to see that in women, that you should not wear niqab because it's drawing it towards your face. It's drawing it towards your eyes. But if you want to wear the niqab with the screen over it so that your eyes can't be seen, then that is better for you to wear. So, I mean, I read those. For the woman's dress, and I know a lot of people, you know, the aura for the woman is everything except for the face and the hands. Now, if you are around non-Muslim women, your aura is the same as the man, which is below the navel and above the knee. So you should keep those covered at all times. Even if they're non-Muslim or Muslim, and no one should see your entire body, whether you're Muslim or not. Like, that's something that should not be shown to another female, period, family member or not. Like, that should not be revealed. Also, with the clothing of the women, clothes should not be tight or form-fitting. So it should not show your outer shape. And the reason why a lot of people like black is because it conceals your shape. It silhouettes your body so you don't see your shape. And for African-American sisters, we are a little bit more bustier. We are a little bit more hippier. And we have more roundness in shapes in certain areas that other people don't. So it's important to conceal those. So, again, this is why black is preferred, because it conceals that. And sometimes with wearing just an overgarment, that's not going to work for certain people because of how their shape is for the sisters. You have to use a jilbab to cover it. So it covers like more layers so you don't see much of the shape. Your face and hands, now some agree with this, some disagree. Your face and hands can be shown, but some people disagree with that and say that your face and your hands should not be shown. we know that the feet should be covered. So you shouldn't be wearing your feet out. I'm a victim to that. Shouldn't be wearing your feet out uncovered. Your feet should be covered. So, again, with the colors, black is going to conceal your shape better. And this is why it's preferred, because it doesn't show your shape. But you can find clothing that masks your shape. I'm good at that. I'm a plus size sister, so I'm good at hiding things when it comes, when I'm buying clothing and so forth and so on. I'm good at that. Like, I know what would look good on me and what wouldn't look good on me and why I'm staying away from it. But, you know, I avoid things that are form-fitting because I like my clothes to breathe. I don't like all that tight stuff. You know, even during Jahiliyyah times, I wasn't into all that tight, form-fitting, you know, can't-breathe type stuff. That wasn't me. So, you know, I stayed away from that. So I'm good with that. Also, sisters, we have to understand, now, some sisters are going to be mad at me, but the high heels. Shouldn't be wearing high heels because it changes your gait. It makes you switch. It makes your gait different. And also, it's a false pretense because brothers may think you're taller and brothers may really think that you walk that way and you shouldn't be enticing the brothers. Sisters, I know you're going to be mad at me for that, but, you know, Allahu A'lam, I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger here. I'm just telling you what it states in hadith and, you know, with certain fatwas that we should follow from the scholars and so forth and so on. You know, the hijab is also another big topic. Now, some people, there's all different types of hijab that the woman can wear to properly cover herself. Now, your hijab should cover your breasts. Should cover your breasts. It should not just be something so thin, see-through, or can't properly cover those areas. So a lot of sisters like Shayla's, and that's the long rectangle piece. Some people, a lot of sisters, a lot of American sisters like the square kimar. And that's, you know, I forget the measurements for that exactly, but it's a square kimar that you fold into a triangle, and then you pin it under the neck, and the next pin, you pin it in front so that it covers your breast. You don't see the shape of your breast. So a lot of sisters like that. I'm trying to think. Amira hijab, which is the one-piece or two-piece. Got like an underscarf, and then you slide it on. A lot of younger sisters wear that because it's easier. They don't have to worry about the pins and so forth and so on. That's how I used to dress my kids, my daughters, when they were like in elementary school. It was easier not to worry about pins and kimars coming off and things like that because they had the mirror hijab on. And the overhead. The overhead or the jilbab can be a one-piece that can come down to your waist area. It could come down to your knee. It could come all the way down to the floor. It's an overhead. So, like, you put your face in it, and you see the oval outline, but it's like one piece. A lot of sisters wear that on top of their overgarment because it helps conceal your shape, and it's not defining your body. Trying to see what else. And, you know, it does state in hadith that, you know, when you make hajj, that you can't wear your niqab. But when I was reading this, it states that, no, you can't wear niqab when you're performing hajj, but if you're talking or interacting with a man that is not your husband, you could take your kimar, pull it over your face to talk to them without them, you know, focusing on your face. But once you're finished the conversation or dealings with them, you can then let your kimar drape back down and, you know, continue on with, you know, performing your hajj. I think the next show that I'm going to do would be on a dad. And, you know, I was listening to a lecture the other day about a dad. And how some people, you know, some people just don't know proper etiquette for things. There is proper etiquette for being a Muslim. We are held to certain standards. There are certain standards and certain specifications that we should adhere to being Muslim. I will try my best to elaborate on those, because I think, you know, sisters need to understand that when you wear an overgarment, sometimes if it's a lighter color, you need to wear a slip. Some sisters don't even know what a slip is, because that's before their time. They don't wear dresses or didn't wear dresses, so how would they know what a slip is? They wouldn't know because they didn't practice that. So I think it would be good for the sisters to understand certain things that you need to do being a Muslima, and carrying yourself as a Muslima out in the dunya, jahiliya. You know, it's certain things that you shouldn't do. And so I think that would be a good segue from, you know, the clothing that we should wear, and for men and women, it's something that's important, because, like I stated earlier, your adab and your characteristics and your mannerisms and your behavior reflect what you have on. If you're looking the part of a Muslim, you should act the part of a Muslim. So, you know, that's very important for us to understand, and something that, you know, I think would be a great benefit to the callers and to anyone that wants to hear the playback. So I'm going to get ready to conclude the call, but I want to make sure that everybody has my contact information. Before I end the call, if anybody has any calls, comments, questions, or concerns, feel free to dial in at 805-727-7013. You can press 1. I'll answer your call. I'm going to run through all the logistics real quick so that everybody can get in contact with me, inshallah, if you want to follow up with me at a later time. If you need to reach me via email, you can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to me personally via my business phone, you can call me 24 hours a day. I'm not necessarily going to answer, depending on what time it is. And that number is 610-836-2120. You can reach me on inbox, DM. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Path, and a couple other social networks. Again, when I do these calls, study up on the topic beforehand. So it's not something that I just, you know, thought about 5 minutes before I was going to do the call. I do study up on the topic. I try to get the information. So if you ever want the footnotes or the dalil on the statements that I made, feel free to contact me. I will send you a listing of those where I got that information from so you can go back and reference it. This is not stuff that I make up, so this is why I can provide you the information on that. Again, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to do these shows, to be able to bring this knowledge to you. I'm no sheikh. I'm no scholar. I barely probably even scratched the surface of Islam, but as a Muslim, it is my duty to teach other Muslims the basics. I know the basics in some situations, and a lot of people don't have that avenue to reach out to people, or don't feel comfortable enough to reach out to them to ask them these questions. So I try to present these questions on the call so that people can understand and have a better, you know, knowledge of Islam. This call is not just for Muslims. We have non-Muslims that listen to these calls. So, again, I reach out to you as well. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact me. There's no bar there. There's no discrimination there. If you have a question, ask it. There's no stupid questions. You know, some things I don't know, so it may call for me to research or get, for, you know, go further on in the call. If I have misstated any information I ask Law Azawajal to please forgive me, because that's not my intent to do here on these calls. It is to provide accurate information. If you have a topic for the call or something you want to see be on these calls are for you. They're not for me. You know, I talk about topics that I think need to be spoken about. So, again, if you have a topic or a suggestion or you would like to see something different here on Religion Means Alive with my section that I do on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, feel free to let me know. I am open to all suggestions. So, again, I thank everybody tonight for joining in. I appreciate it. So this is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive on Blog Talk Radio. Today's date is 10-8-2015. Assalamu alaikum and have a great evening.